I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. My guest now, Robin Harding and her family moved to Calgary and then to Australia and then back to Vancouver and chronicles their effort to live green throughout. She does so in a new book, Mom, Will This Chicken Give Me Man Boobs? My confused, guilt-ridden, and stressful struggle to raise a green family. She lives in Kitsilano, which is considered one of the world's greenest neighborhoods, and she works to reduce, reuse, and recycle, and it seems more, like seeking better milk, but not having to pay an arm and a leg for it, and reducing their carbon footprint by buying carbon offsets. It's an often funny book, practical, and a fun read. She tells her story with great humor, and she joins me now to tell us how she did. The book is published by Greystone and retails for $19.95. Robin Harding is an author of four successful novels, including The Secret Desires of a Soccer Mom, Unraveled, and My Parents Are Sex Maniacs, which has also just been published. RobinHarding.com is her website. For more, please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Robin Harding. Good morning, Ms. Harding.
Good morning, Joseph. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Did you have a nervous breakdown raising this family of yours?
Kind of. when I was in the process of writing the book and I was so immersed in this whole, trying to do everything right and be so green and so careful, it was extremely stressful.
And you live in Vancouver now, but you grew up in Quesnel, right?
Yes, I did.
And for people that are unfamiliar, Quesnel is that's a logging town, is it?
Yeah, it's about 800 kilometers north of Vancouver, and it is a logging pulp and paper town. So, you know, I wasn't off to the greenest start growing up there.
And then you had the kids where? Here?
My son was born in Vancouver, and my daughter was born in Calgary.
And how old are they now?
They are now 9 and 11.
Your husband, he's Australian, right?
That's right.
Now, they seem to have bought into this environment, the whole environmental thing, faster and sooner than we have, right?
The kids, you mean?
No, Australians in general.
Oh, Australians. Well, yeah, you know, I read somewhere, unfortunately I can't quote exactly because I don't remember where I read it, but that because they have such an extreme climate and deal with such problems as drought, that they could be one of the most affected by this climate change thing. So they've been on the bandwagon for a lot longer than we have, I think.
You lived in there for a spell, right?
Yeah, we lived there for a year in Perth, Australia, in about 2002-2003. And I remember they were already really campaigning against the plastic bag. Like, already at grocery stores in 2002 in Perth, Australia, they were really, really pushing canvas bags and reusable bags. And I don't think that started happening here until maybe 2007, 2008. It really became a hot-button issue here.
Yeah, it's been a hot-button issue, the point of debate. But nothing's really happened. We still have them. We can get them at shops. Where are you on that? Do you think that we should ban them or charge a levy, perhaps, on them?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, I've gotten really into the routine of carrying reusable bags all the time with me, and I rarely forget now. It's become such a habit. I mean, God, what an easy thing to do. Like, I mean, there's a lot of other green things that are a lot more difficult than bringing a reusable bag with you.
And you've seen that we've sort of changed our sort of outlook on this, that we're accepting this now more and more?
Yeah, I think so, especially in this neighborhood. Yeah. You know, people are really willing to make sacrifices, and I think there are a lot of small things that we can do, small changes that really don't impact our lives that much. And those are the little things that we all need to do and maybe stress out less about the big things.
Now, your husband, he's obviously a part of all this, your
yeah.
family becoming green. Was he someone that perhaps championed it from the start? Or?
Well, it's funny. People ask me that about him, and he's a very laid-back guy. So he didn't get as stressed out about stuff as I did, but he works for BC Hydro, and so he was really very energy conscious all along. You know, he was the one that kind of came through and changed all the light bulbs to compact fluorescence, which I now hear are going to give us cancer or something.
Yeah.
Is the latest?
Yeah, they've got mercury in them, supposedly.
Yeah, I'm like, great, that's good. You know, so he's a lower stress guy, and he's very much on energy conservation. But I think the push came from me and all my guilt living in this super green neighborhood and comparing myself to everybody else and feeling like I didn't measure up.
And the children themselves, they obviously had a part too, right?
Oh, absolutely, because kids are so informed. They're learning so much at school now. and other kids know a lot about, you know, climate change and all the things we need to do. So they would come home from school with information that I didn't know. You know, things like litterless lunches. Like, I had not heard of that growing up. We all took our wax paper and our little plastic baggies, and now we send our kids to school with lunches with absolutely no litter. Like, all plastic containers or metal containers and nothing to throw away.
So you moved to Calgary as well, right?
Yes.
And that was an interesting part of the book, because, as you describe it in the book, it's a very different place than here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an oil and gas city, you know. It's the Houston, Texas of Canada, in my opinion. And even just the way it's laid out, you really rely on your car in a city that is so spread out. So, you know, it really was kind of a non-issue. They don't have curbside recycling. I think they're getting it this month, like literally right now. So all this time they have not had, the city has not provided curbside recycling. So to recycle your papers and plastics and tin cans, aluminum cans, you actually had to make the effort of driving your car to a recycling depot and doing it all yourself, or you could hire like a private company that would come and do it, which is what we did eventually.
Yeah, driving to the recycling plant, that makes a lot of
sense,
doesn't
it? Yeah, I know.
You talk about in the book about riding public transportation, an aversion, I should say, about to riding public transportation. You had a bad experience?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
Well, I have to say that since I wrote the book, I have been on transit several times without the incidents that happened on this one. But it was just ironic that, you know, I hadn't ridden the bus for years living in Calgary, and transit's not good in Calgary. Australia, I had no need to. I was just, you know, walking everywhere in my little neighborhood. And when I came back to Vancouver, I had a meeting downtown, and I decided, well, I'll just hop on the bus. And I swear every crazy lunatic in Vancouver was on that bus that day, and I got bus sick from not being able to see out the window, and the smell of a big bag of empty beer cans right behind me, and it was a bit of a rough experience. But I have given it a few other chances lately with a lot more success.
Yeah. You talked earlier about comparing yourselves to your neighbors, and I live in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I live in East Van at, you know, Fraser, King Edward area.
Okay.
And you talked about comparing the pressure of living in Kitsilano. That's something that I can't comprehend. What sort of pressures did you encounter?
Well, I don't think any of my neighbors are actually judgmental. It's more me measuring myself against them. And I think a lot of people here are really committed and really willing to dramatically change their lifestyle. You know, people that don't have cars, people that don't have dryers in this rainy climate that hang all their clothes because dryers use so much electricity. And, you know, just really, really, really committed to eating properly, you know, locally grown or organic and stuff that sometimes I feel like I can't afford, and I think, or I can't, you know, deal with the stress or the hassle. And I think, well, how can they do it and why can't I do it? And then I feel like I'm not putting in the effort that I should.
Do you have a dryer?
I have a dryer now.
Yeah, do you use it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I use it a lot. I'm like stunned that people, you know, I mean, it rains here all the time,
yeah.
And I just think that's incredible that people are able to dry their clothes. In Perth, we had no dryer. No one has a dryer in Perth, Australia, but, I mean, you hang your clothes outside and 5 minutes later, they're bone dry. Whereas here, it must take days.
It seems to me that there are a lot of people, like myself, for example, that want to live better. But
uh-huh.
we get I don't know, we sort of get overwhelmed by it all.
Yeah.
That trying to change one's life is the source of consternation you know, for example, soy milk, for example, it's much better for us, but it costs a lot more. Do you think that just thinking about it is about half the problem?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, things like, okay, soy milk, it's a very contentious issue. Like, is it better for us? Maybe it's not. The crops, the soybean crops are being are destroying, they're destroying rainforests to plant soybeans so we can have soy milk. And I mean, it just, I think that if we think about it too much, everybody's just going to throw up their hands and say, ah, it's too much, I can't do it, right? And that's kind of, with this book, I thought it's a new angle to this whole issue. I don't know if anyone's really treated it with humor before. And I think the main message of the book is like, you know, just don't give up, do what you can, don't beat yourself up. I think living greener can just be living simpler, you know, wasting less, accumulating less, just kind of a common sense approach instead of getting wrapped up like I did in, you know, making sure I'm doing everything right and all the confusing and conflicting information I've gotten. And it can definitely overwhelm a person.
For you, has it cost a lot?
Financially?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, I don't eat a strictly organic diet. I don't, like, there's certain things, like organic milk to me is out of my price range. I just can't bring myself to pay that much for milk. So, you know, I'm sure it's better, but there's certain sacrifices that I just can't make. So I would say in some ways it being green can actually cost you less because, you know, if you're driving less, if you're consuming less, you know, buying less toys and garbage, you know, that's all going to go towards your pocketbook.
Now, you mentioned earlier that your kids are pretty environmentally savvy. The title of the book, which of your children asked you that?
That was my son. I have a son and a daughter, so obviously the son's the one worried about the man boobs. that was an actual dinner conversation, and we were eating chicken fajitas, and I brought up that I had heard that that boys in the States were developing breasts from hormones in chickens. And my son spat out his chicken fajita and said, is this chicken going to give me man boobs? And that's where the title comes from.
And so how do you allay his fear?
I said, oh, I don't think so. But I did some research after that and found that chickens in Canada are not treated with hormones. In America, it's a different story. But I do try to buy unmedicated specialty, I think they call it, chicken, which is not as expensive as organic chicken, but at least you know that chicken hasn't been pumped full of all sorts of drugs to give it plump, juicy breasts.
And did you eat other meats, like pork and beef?
Yeah, and beef, apparently, they do use growth hormones in Canada. So beef I try to eat just organic. But I really try to, I mean, we definitely do eat meat, but from all the research I've done, they say probably the best thing you could do for the environment, and I'm sure your health as well, is to just cut back on your meat consumption. Because they say that one hamburger patty produces the same amount of greenhouse gases as driving 10 kilometers in your car.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what Alcoholics said. Yeah, but back to the light bulbs for a sec. You mentioned that we've now that they could cause cancer. I heard that they have mercury in them. Have you changed your bulbs back, or how do you deal with that?
Well, no, because I just found this out like 2 days ago. I was on a radio call-in show, and I mentioned, "Oh, look at me, I'm so good. I changed all my light bulbs." And then somebody emailed me and said that that producing them actually creates a ton of toxic waste and also emits a lot of greenhouse gases, where a regular light bulb creates virtually no greenhouse gases. And then a couple friends of mine said that they'd heard on a different radio program that they've never been tested and there's concerns about the chemicals and what they're emitting. And so, I mean, literally this was 2 days ago. So then I said to my husband, well, now I think we need to change the light bulbs back. And he says, oh, we don't need to change them back. They're energy efficient and na-na-na-na. So, I mean, it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, and I've heard that if they break, there's mercury in them.
Yes, and so they have to be recycled properly. You can't just throw them out.
Yeah, and then the one thing I've noticed is that they don't, they say they're supposed to last for 7 years or
yeah.
whatever. They haven't lasted that long for me.
Well, they've lasted like, you know, 20 minutes for me, and apparently someone else emailed me and told me that they're only meant to be used in fixtures where you have them on for a long amount of time. So your dining room or your porch or somewhere where you're going to leave it on for over 20 minutes. If it's in a bathroom where you flick them on and off, they're going to burn out practically instantly. So that's what's been happening to us in our bathroom. So it seems like every day there's another pop and the light bulb's burnt out.
Yeah. Carbon offsets, you took a trip and you bought some, did you?
Yes, I did. We flew to Perth where my husband's family is, and you know that is an enormous trip. I think it's 20-odd tons of carbon we belched into the atmosphere on that 26-hour flight. So I did look into carbon offsets, and, you know, wow, it was pretty confusing and could be pretty expensive. There's a huge range of prices that you can pay. So I ended up going, taking the cheap out route and going with a really affordable one. But, you know, it's they're very controversial because people say you're just sort of paying to assuage your guilt about flying when you really shouldn't be flying in the first place.
And you haven't been on a plane in a while, right?
Not for a while, but that's something that, you know, I can't see me giving that up as a long-term goal. You know, flying, my husband is from Australia. You know, I've just always loved to travel, and that would be a pretty hard thing for me to say I would never do again.
Now, how does this book work for people that don't live in Vancouver, for example, that live in the suburbs or live, you know, in rural communities?
Well, again, I think certain people will relate to it more than others. I mean, and there are certain parts of North America where they just don't even care about this issue at all. You know, I did a speaking engagement on Wednesday, and there was a woman there who was from Boston, and she said in Boston they just used to laugh at her because she used to ride her bike to work, and they just thought that was hilarious. Why would anyone do that? And she said they just don't have any interest. But I think there's plenty of places outside of Vancouver where people are very environmentally aware. I've heard that the Maritimes is really good. You know, different communities, even in the interior of BC. And I don't know, I just think that everybody is being bombarded with these messages that we need to care about the Earth. And I think this is kind of a painless way to get some information about the environment and, you know, have a laugh at this struggle that we're all going through and realize that we don't need to get overwhelmed, that we just need to all do our best and care about, you know, our community and our neighborhood and our and the nature around us.
See, I forgot to ask you when we were talking about chicken.
Uh-huh.
There's a, I don't know if it's been passed or not, but there's been a lot of discussion about raising chickens in one's backyard in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to be doing?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, I'm not interested at all in having chickens in my backyard. But it's funny, it's become a real hot topic of conversation lately. And a woman was telling me last night that a friend of hers has chickens somewhere, and she said, they're like cats. She said, they're a really nice little pet. They'll, like, lay in your arms and cuddle you. Whereas on the other side of the story, you worry about rats and raccoons and, you know, smelly chicken coops and stuff. But apparently it can be quite a good thing if you're willing to put in the work.
Do you have an opinion on it? Do you think that we should pass this here in Vancouver?
Oh, like, it wouldn't bother me, anyone having them. I think that would be great. Personally, I don't want to take on that responsibility. I have, like, a 7-pound dog. That's all I can handle. But I think if somebody wants that and would like the fresh eggs and is willing to keep it clean and, you know, do the work involved, then I think absolutely we should pass it.
And so you continue writing novels, is that right?
Yes.
And that's your day job, I guess, if I could say call it that?
Well, yeah, I've been lucky enough. I haven't had to have a real job since I published my first book in 2004, so I feel really, really lucky to be doing this for a living.
So this was your first nonfiction book, is that correct?
My first nonfiction.
And
yeah.
It's been received pretty well, hasn't it?
Well, it's getting a lot of attention, which is great, and some great reviews, and you know, I feel pretty vulnerable having this out there. You know, it is my first nonfiction, and I'm writing about my kids and my husband and my mom and my friends and neighbors. So it's a vulnerable feeling putting that out in the world. But so far, the response and feedback I've gotten has been great.
It's a very funny book, Robin, and terribly useful. Congratulations on writing it. Continued good luck with it.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
The book is called Mom, Will This Chicken Give Me Man Boobs? My Confused, Guilt-Ridden, and Stressful Struggle to Raise a Green Family, 1995, published by Greystone. Its author, Robin Harding, on the line. I'm Joseph Planto.